This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name is Daryl Ong, and tune in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. As elite sports leagues around the globe slowly grind to a start, at the grassroots level, activities are still stagnant, with recreational basketball courts, football pitches, rugby fields void of activity for these couple of months. The ecosystem around grassroots sports also have been affected, with sports activities and venues stopping operations with no resume date in sight. In these uncertain times, recreational sports can play a big part to help individuals and societies soften the negative effects of the crisis on their lives through ways that can contribute to people's health and well-being. However, while it will still be quite some time before things return, albeit a new normal, the lack of guidance and guidelines from authorities have left many grassroots associations in limbo. When is the right time to restart, and what would life be for sports post-COVID-19? On the line with us today on the program, we have Khalilur Rahman, who is a community sports activist and the founder of Padang Bola Sepak, who have been over the years organizing recreational programs for the local footballing community. We kickstarted the conversation by asking how he and his team have been coping throughout this movement control order.
Well, basically, this has been quite of a shock for everyone from Padang Bola Sepak and as well our newly formed NGO Rekreasi. And again, we're living in unprecedented times. These are strange and difficult times that we're living in, and we have to adapt as best as we can. But however, the concerns and worries of what's going on in the grassroots sporting youth system has been very worrying. You know, so I hope to elaborate this more further with you.
And I know that you guys kind of have a mission of, you know, community recreational sport. Carl, you've been on the program before telling us all about this, but can you just very briefly tell us a bit about your initiative, Rekreasi and Bola, Padang Bola Sepak, and the mission you guys set out to do?
Okay, basically, Padang Bola Sepak was founded as a blog and then evolved into a more of an organization, program organization sort of thing. So we create sessions of sporting events. People can just join and play football with us, futsal and so on and so forth. And then that evolved into Rekreasi. So Rekreasi is our formal NGO that we are, basically it's a government body where we want to formalize things even further, maybe to create policies for government to consider and to synergize with a lot of local communities and local authorities, and as well as working together with all kinds of associations, left, right, center, from the sports to the arts to the culture, to work together, how can we bring sports and society together and to make more of a better change.
Community sports activities are among many things that have been halted indefinitely by the MCO. But the pandemic has also seen grassroots sport affected way before that. Carl, can you just tell us how the pandemic has seen grassroots sport affected before the MCO was implemented?
Yes, I think a lot there's, as time went by, the ratio of people being concerned about this COVID-19 has actually raised from month to month. So if we look at the news of COVID-19 started around New Year's. So there was a little bit of concern whether it would hit Malaysia or not. And when it finally hit Malaysia, it was under control. However, when the Tabligh cluster actually started, that's when everyone started to be more proactive with our programs. You know, some of them had safety measures, you know, like health checks at the door and so on and so forth. Some of them completely put a pause with the programs, and you know, everyone tried to be proactive as they can, because again, the safety of our participants is paramount,
of course,
you know. However, as organizers, and then we have venue managers, referees, and so on and so forth, you know, everyone's like income has stagnated since. So again, we're trying to, you know, problem solve as much as we can. You know, but it's been a big concern before the MCO started, and then now the MCO has we're in phase five of we're in like somewhat in the phase five. So, we are still struggling to wonder whether there's actually the light at the end of this tunnel.
Got you. Before the whole MCO was implemented, did you see as Padang Bola Sepak your events slowly dwindling down in a way?
Not really, because I think everyone was still everyone uses sports to escape the struggles of life. So when we announced that we have to cancel our programs, you know, everyone was very down, but ultimately they all understand why we had to do this, so why it's paramount for their safety. So again, it goes to all organizers as well. You know, it was a very tough decision because everyone was looking forward for an activity, a consistent activity in their lives weekly to look forward to, and that has been halted, and it's been months since we all met and play sports, and to, you know, to return to our support group. Everyone at first, everyone felt disappointed. Then slowly, everyone accepted the reality of the situation. However, you know, there are relapses within the community and beyond. That, you know, we are all wondering when can we actually come back, and then we're all grasping for semblance of hope. You know, of course, we look towards KKM, DJ Hisham. He's very clear. He's very clear and comprehensive of what is the situation. So we follow updates day by day to look for, you know, that light at the end of the tunnel, as well as maybe, you know, look forward for. We look towards, you know, certain leadership from maybe KBS, you know, for guidance in, like, when can we actually go back to sports. Of course, right now there are certainly ways in terms of running, cycling, a bit of that. However, you know, at the end of it, bigger communities, they want to come back and play, you know, football, rugby, they want to go back to swimming and so on and so forth. So everyone's looking for guidance. It's just that no one's been able to find those guidance.
Have you been in touch with, say, authorities to kind of give you guidelines of, you know, how to operate things and stuff like that?
Well, we've tried, but, you know, so far no responses.
Right.
However, we try to keep banging the drum as best as we can.
Kyle, over the weeks, we've seen a bunch of sports people, both professional and amateur alike, posting videos, live streaming themselves, working out, keeping fit, kind of like inspiration during this lockdown times. The digital age has really brought the community together. Have you guys at Padang Bola Sepak been doing anything digitally?
Digitally, we have been doing a bit more creative things. Not exercising per se. It's more of like more trying to get people into the community to do something together. Like, for example, we've been doing essays together on like reflecting about our joys of playing football, our joys of watching it. As well as we kind of did a quiz thing as well online. So we're trying to swerve a bit more towards the left from the conventional things that people have been doing. But however, it's about complementing both the brains and the brawns, you know, the aspect of it. So we have like Cycling Selangor who is doing virtual cycling actually.
Nice.
And you have brand new waves doing a lot of virtual waves program, meaning like they have like workout sessions in the evenings with the participants and so on and so forth. We actually tried planning to do something similar, but again, it's about complementing what was already existed. So why not we just advocate these guys rather than starting our own? You know, then we have like Huddle, for example. They've been doing a lot of live streaming chats with professional athletes, amateur sports and so on and so forth to get people a bit more inspired and getting ready to get back on the field once the green light has been lit.
Kyle, looking into the sports ecosystem, right, what are the realities that, I guess, the organisers, the referees, venue management, coaches, what are the struggles and problems are they facing during this MCO?
Of course, during this MCO, everyone, as we said a few questions back, everything's been stagnant. Everything's put on a halt. You know, organisers are not getting the revenue streams. Referees are struggling to find jobs at this moment because, again, the MCO happened. And also venue management, depending on venue facilitators, depending on what kind of venue that they're running, they, you know, there's a possibility that a venue is running on a loan, on rental. So they are struggling even further to pay those rents.
Right.
So, again, as well as academies as well, because they have to convince the parents to keep their kids to keep on going with their programs.
On the money side of things, right, Carl, one point you brought up just now about rentals, I think that's a very important thing to think about, especially post-MCO.
Yeah.
Do you think that, you know, sports utilities and sports facilities, the rental of those will go up post-MCO?
I think that is that's where people are looking for leadership. That's where people in that side of the business are looking for leadership, are looking for clarity from the government, you know. Can there be a policy where, you know, there's a grace period of where the rental is basically freezed so that they can get their businesses back on track, you know, either freeze or discounted and so on and so forth? Because I think right after this MCO, there'll be a steady increase of people wanting to go back to sports.
Yep.
As well as there needs to be like a campaign to get people back to sports physically and mentally. Again, we need leadership from either someone from us in the grassroots to, you know, pull everyone together and talk to KBS, or KBS comes down and like finds everyone in the grassroots ecosystem to like get together virtually, of course, to discuss, you know, what are the realistic things that can actually happen, because we need a clear tactic, you know, we need a clear plan of like what can we actually achieve together in order that everyone can survive. One example that I really admire is that if you were to look at our friends in New Zealand, actually, they actually created this visual like guidebook on their website, sportsnz.org.nz.
Okay.
So they have like all these like levels of like elite levels. For example, elite level one means that everything is okay. You can continue back to sports. Elite level two, a bit of social distancing near manner as well. Just be more upper cautious and so on and so forth.
Mm.
I think we need something like that in order to give everyone a bit more of a key visual indicator of like, okay, we are on elite level three, you know, at this point of time.
Mm.
No contact sports, no so on and so forth. So at least, you know, people from organizers, everyone in the ecosystem would be like, okay, we know what is the level now. We are aiming towards to get level two. How can we do that? Okay, we need to create awareness for the public saying that, okay, we need to keep social distancing and so on and so forth. So I think, again, we need to have like a comprehensive one-stop go, like a community board where you have KBS, you have KKM, and you have the grassroots people coming together and create this like guidebook so that at least everyone is not clueless in what's going on going forward, because the longer that this doesn't happen, the dire the situation it can actually get. Referees, you know, have to move on with their lives, finding another job. You know, academies, they might have to close down and find other businesses elsewhere. And then, you know, some venues might have to even close down. So there needs to be a collectivism by everyone needs to come together, a task force, basically, a comprehensive task force to deal with the situation. Because at the end of the day, Malaysians love sports. You know, it's our go-to thing. You know, we play badminton, we play football, you know, rugby, and so on and so forth, running, cycling. You know, we need to, like, deal with a detailed guidebook, you know, so that everyone's not clueless, you know, and at the same time, at least the authorities, you know, from the police officers, at the roadblocks, know what is actually happening. Because as long as everything from top to bottom, bottom to top is comprehensive, I think it's no problem.
Yeah, it's always great, especially in these times, to have kind of like instructions. But right now, everyone's in limbo.
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of synergy do you think then is required for, you know, clear communication between sports officials, the NGOs, the government, and the workers from the industry?
I think you just said it right there. We need a centralized sports sports communication department to get everyone together, you know, then identify what's the problem, then create the policies, brainstorm, then create the policies, then implementing those policies, getting those policies implemented through parliament or whatever, so that, you know, livelihoods can be safeguarded, job security can be safeguarded, and a potential job increase in the sporting community, in the sports ecosystem for the youth to participate, to be increased. It's both securing jobs and also building jobs for the future.
Yeah, and sports really is big business. It brings in a lot to the economy. What do you think? Give us a picture of the implications in both in the socio-economical sector.
Again, socio-economical sector, of course, we have businesses possibly might have to be closed down. There's a possible inflation, you know, if things aren't kept in check. So you're pricing out the people who really need the sports, you know. So it's ridiculous to ask someone to play a sport that let's price 10 ringgit before MCO and price 13 ringgit post MCO, you know. So it's ridiculous if that happens. So hence why there has to be a safeguarding of these things.
And Kao, not just financial terms, right? I mean, looking up the sporting ladder, the grassroots is basically base A, where everything starts for potential aspiring athlete.
It's that simple, you know. If we stop producing this progress, if we stop supporting the grassroots, stop synergizing the grassroots, and so on and so forth, we are basically, we won't get a future Lee Chong Wei. We won't be getting a future Sami Safari. We won't be getting a future Safari Rashid, Nicole Ann, and so on and so forth, you know. So, you know, if the longer this goes, we might not have a sporting star or even a sporting team that can represent the nation in the distant future.
That's a very dystopian future. I would hate to think if that happened. Kao, the COVID-19 and the MCO has induced, I guess, for every Malaysians, induced a certain fear, right, when it comes to going out or actually even being in public places. And we are seeing this now. People are scared to go out. Post-MCO, how do you plan to find that balance of, I guess, instilling the confidence in your members while still being cautious at the same time?
Of course, we have to look at the guide what KKM has been advising. So before anything can happen, we have to look towards KKM. We have to ask advice from KKM. What is the procedure and the alert levels that we've spoken of before? You know, that should be a guide as well.
Yeah.
So even post MCO, that we should follow that theoretical guidebook in order to retain the programs. You know, we do not want to create a new cluster, you know, like we don't want to create a cluster Padang Bola. We don't want to create a new cluster gym, you know. So again, there must be, before that can happen, that theoretical elite level that I've spoken of before has to, you know, be detailed so that, you know, academies can go back to business, referees can organize games again, you know, venue operators can start up their businesses again, and so on and so forth.
Kao, you've been thinking about this for a long time. You've been in lockdown at home, thinking about, I guess, the future of grassroots sport. When you think about the term the new normal, right, what do you think the new normal will look like for grassroots sports?
Oh, again, thank you for that question, because it's a very difficult question for me to wrap my head around. Again, dystopian, could be dystopian.
Yeah.
You know, mental health, mental and emotional health cases could actually, they are on the rise, because just a quick share with you.
Sure.
Ever since the MCO started, there are participants from our community and also beyond our community actually reached out to us saying that they are feeling very stressed because they have no sports. They have, you know, they miss their adopted family. So, you know, they do want to reach out to the brethren, but they're worried that they might be disturbing them with their families and so on and so forth. So they've been asking me about, you know, mental health and emotional health hotlines, because they need someone to speak to talk about this. So just a quick shout out to anyone who needs any mental and health mental health support. You know, please contact Befrienders, Minda Kami, all these initiatives who are doing fantastic jobs on digital platforms. And, you know, your emotional and your mental health well-being is very important as your physical health.
Yes. Last question, Kao. The guidelines and, you know, instructions from authorities definitely is the best solution right now, listening to you say your piece. But other than that, what kind of support is needed to keep the grassroots movement recovering or, you know, sustaining?
Okay, so we have already spoken about the guidebook, and then we've spoken about the possible, you know, policy of, like, maybe giving a rental freeze for venue management. Another thing, of course, grants, you know, grants for associations to kickstart, to a stimulus package, basically, to reorganize, you know, grassroots associations, academies, and put organizers to just to get things started again, get everyone back into the mood of sports, you know, give people hope that things can happen. As well, we are presenting a very interesting opportunity as well, post-COVID-19, post-MCO, actually, because, like, in a sense, we're hitting the stop button and we're kind of restarting again. So, in a sense, we can rejuvenate the grassroots ecosystem in a sense of, like, we can re-heighten up the media work. Because, you know, yeah, people, when they get grants or whatever, they want to see a bit more of, like, what kind of media work that they can do. Maybe this could be a great opportunity to televise actually local sports, but local grassroots sports, you know, like Little League or even the Social League, you know, it's a great opportunity to reinvest grassroots sports again.
That was Khalilur Rahman, a community sports activist and the founder of Padang Bola Sepak and Rekreasi, giving us an insight into how the grassroots are coping during this period and thoughts on the ideal way to move forward. And with that, we've come to the end of today's show. Do remember, if you'd like to revisit the interview again, you can head over to our website, www.bfm.my/barnone. If you'd like to get in touch with us, do tweet us at BFM Radio. And also don't forget to download our BFM app via Google Play and the App Store. My name is Daryl Ong, and you have been tuning in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Join us again next week, right here on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.